way.
So we continue our study in the book of Esther.
So we're going to listen to
we're in Esther chapter 7
Sarah
today.
Interview now.
Moving right along.
For our roll-in of our
God makes a way when there is no way. Have you ever been in a situation, and maybe you're going through something now, that you just really can't see the next move? You really don't know where this is going. Matter of fact, it doesn't look so good for you. And you just have to step out and trust God. It's a God move. When everything else is just hazy around you, you don't know, you're just saying, God, I don't know what this is going to look like, but I would take the first step of faith. Listen, that's all God really wants you to do, is take the first step. If you take that first step, you know what? When you take the first step, He'll challenge you to take the second. Well, then your confidence kind of builds up. Well, the first one worked, so maybe the second one will too. So you take that next step. And it's amazing that God begins to reveal a little bit. And you, the more you walk by faith, the more that you step into the unknown, trusting God to lead you, the more confident you have that God has got your back. Matter of fact, that God has a plan and that you are walking God's plan out for your life and your situation. Today we find Esther in that situation. We find her having to take the steps of faith. Regardless of what the outcome will be, she's trusting God for it all. Esther chapter 7. Esther chapter 7. It was said that faith in God will take you out of your comfort zone, challenge you, and lead you onto unknown paths that you have never traveled before. It's not predictable or easy, but it's worth the ride. So last week in Esther chapter 5 and 6, we read how King Xerxes and Haman had attended Queen Esther's banquet. You remember? So Esther risked her life going before the king to ask for the edict or the decree that the king had sent out to kill all the Jews, for it to be stepped back, for him to take it back, which was really against Persian law. So here Queen Esther goes before her husband, the king, who's sitting on his throne. Anyone who goes in before the king without having a summons or without being invited, their life would be threatened. Their life could be taken right away. Esther trusted God and went in. And when the king saw her, he held out his golden scepter. He was excited to see his queen. Boy, she was decked out too. She had the royal robe on. She probably had her crown, you know, tiara kicked a little bit to the side. She was going to impress him. And he was like, boy, she won his favor very quickly. Esther, anything you want, even up to half the kingdom. And she said, basically, I want you to come to a banquet, you and Haman. And Haman was the bad guy. But Haman was like the prime minister that he was using, that had been elevated to the highest noble in all of Persia. King Xerxes was using him for great things in the kingdom. But Esther knew that she needed to get Haman in there also. So she invited the king and Haman over to this banquet, the first banquet. And in that banquet, she wined and dined, so to speak, the king and Haman. And the king again asked her, Esther, whatever your request is, up to half the kingdom, it'll be yours. Just tell me what your request is. So my request is that you come back tomorrow for the second banquet. The second banquet. Now, in the meantime, Mordecai, who was Esther's cousin, but also one who raised her, Haman wanted to kill him. Remember, he erected up a 75-foot pole to have him impaled on. But the king, because Mordecai had spoiled a plot to kill the king wanted to honor him. Matter of fact, he did honor him, and he asked Haman, how should we honor a man who the king really wants to lift up? And Haman thought he was talking about himself. So he named all this. Oh, get the, you know, for him to wear a robe that the king wore and to ride one of the king's horses that the king rode. And he said, great, go get Mordecai and do all that for him. And Haman was furious, but he did it. He was embarrassed because now he had to walk around the streets of Susa with his horse and Mordecai riding the king's horse. And he said, this is what the king does for one who he wants to honor. And Haman, all that time in his heart, wanted to kill the man. He goes home very embarrassed and tells his wife all that happened. His wife then tells him, sounds like you're out to ruin because Mordecai is a Jew. Just as that came out, here the king's eunuchs came to carry Haman back to the second banquet. And this is where we pick up. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. This is day two. And as they were drinking wine, on the second day, the king again asked Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted. So he made this commitment on the first time that Esther went into his throne room, second time at the banquet, now the third time. Verse 3, Queen Esther answered, if I found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life, for this is my petition, and spare my people. This is my request. Notice she used the same words he used. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we have merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept silent because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, who is he? Where is he? The man who has dared to do such a thing. Esther said, verse 6, Esther said, an adversary, an enemy, this vile Haman. And Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden. But Haman, realizing that the king had already declared his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Drastic turn of events. And just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king explained, will he even molest the queen while she is with me in my house or in the house? As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, a pole reaching a height of 50 cubits, or 75 feet, stands by Haman's house. He had it set up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. And the king said, impale him on it. So they impaled Haman on the pole, and he set up for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, as this plot unveils and more of this story of Esther becomes reality to us, God, help us to see how your hand, how your providential hand has been weaving through every part of this story to save your people, to save Mordecai, to save Queen Esther. God, help us to see in our own lives that you have a great plan. Lord, your plan is so much more than we could ever dream. And Lord, even when life seems to be challenging, even when things around us seems to be dark and we can't see the next step, God, you're always working for our good and for your glory. God, teach us today to trust you and to trust only you for the outcome in our own lives. In Christ's name, amen. So there are three truths from this passage I want us to examine this morning to help us learn how God provides a way out when it seems there is no way. The first truth is this: others need not change in order for you to be faithful to God. You don't need to wait on anyone else to change in order for you to be faithful to God. See, your faithfulness in following God is not dependent on the actions or behaviors of others. We see this in verse 1 through verse 4. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. And on this second occasion, while they were drinking their wine, the king again said to Esther, "Tell me what you want, Queen Esther. What is your request? I will give it to you, even up to half the kingdom." And Queen Esther replied, "If I found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people will be spared, for my people and I have been sold to those who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate us." Listen, on this second banquet, we see where Queen Esther has prepared herself and the environment to step out. Listen, that takes a lot of faith, a lot of faith. She prepared everything for God to deliver. Regardless, she put her own life at risk. Notice all of Queen Esther's preparation. She never asked for a situation or for people to change before she stepped out in the faith to trust God to open the way that she walked. Esther, she didn't ask for a miracle. She didn't ask for the king's heart to be changed. She didn't ask for signs and wonders. How many times we go through things in life, we want some miraculous thing to happen. Then we know it's God. Rather than just knowing and trusting God, regardless of not seeing anything going on at all, Queen Esther stepped out in faith and she walked this walk regardless of what was going on. She didn't ask for any signs or any wonders or any miracles to take place. She didn't ask for Haman to die before he got there. She just went. And she, little by little, began to soften up. She did the work behind it. Too often, Christians, we don't want to do the work behind to bring God's providential plan in our life into existence. We want God just to bring it. You know what that's a sign of? Laziness. Why would God want to bring something to us if we're lazy? Esther worked. Queen prayed and fasted with her attendants. And she requested that Mordecai and all the Jews in the city also fast for 3 days. And Queen Esther was preparing herself with God for his will to be done. So if we're wanting God to work out our situation, we need to be preparing ourselves, regardless of whatever else everyone else is doing. We don't need someone else to change for us to be right with God. The only way we're going to hear from God is if we're seeking God. If our mind and if our heart is tuned in to God. Esther did not know how the king would receive her visit, whether she would live or die, because she visited first unannounced to his throne. She walked by faith and God was making the way the whole time. Just see? She prayed up. She fasted. She had her attendants fast. She had Mordecai and all the Jews and all of Susa. Fasting for 3 days, she prepared herself. And she prepared the meal, both banquets. That's walking by faith that God's going to answer. She did all of that work, and she could have been killed on the spot, but she trusted God. And she was received by the king with favor and invited him to this banquet. King and Haman attended. The first banquet, was accepted in the invitation, and she sent out the invitation to him. Listen, tomorrow I want you to come back to a second banquet. Now, the king could have gotten very angry and said, "No, I'm not going back. What is your request, woman?" But he didn't. Because he'd already asked her twice. He said, "Come back tomorrow, then I will tell you." Now, I know this king. He's pretty arrogant, but boy, he has his beautiful wife there, and she's saying, "Come back." Well, sure. Curiosity's up now. A few things we need to note. The king and queen usually do not eat together except for formal occasions. So it was rare that the king would go into a banquet like this with the queen, just very informal. God made a way. And it was very, very unusual for the king to allow any male in the room with them except a eunuch, one who had been castrated at a very young age, to serve the king. The king was very protective of his queen in their culture. So it was very rare when Esther invited him to this informal banquet with just those two and Haman, a male. See how God provided a way when it seemed no way? And so she had this banquet and invited the evil man, the evil one, to come too. The step of faith Esther took, the way was made for the next step of faith, and then the next. God has a unique way of even using non-believers and evil people to bring about His divine plan for our lives. Did you know that? That God can use anyone to bring about His providential plan in our lives. And many of the people He uses are not so nice. Matter of fact, they're non-believers. Not only non-believers, some of them are very evil. Listen, they're wanting to hurt you and hurt your situation, hurt your life. But God uses them anyway. God would do similar things in your situation. He looks for you to trust Him even when you cannot see Him at work. And others are not acting in good favor toward you. If you're waiting on others to change, to be faithful, before you move in faith, you're wasting your time. And listen, you're delaying God's wonderful things that He wants to do in your life. If you're waiting on someone else to change for you to move out for God, you're going to wait a long time. You can't change anyone. You can pray and pray and pray that God will change them, and please do. But you still have to be faithful and step out. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Stephen Furtick said this, "The only way God can show us He's in control is to put us in situations we can't control." Will you trust God and step out in faith, even if no one steps out with you? Will you be faithful even if others stumble and lack of belief? Be stifled by small faith? Will you act in faith? God is looking for you to step out even though others will not step out with you. Even though others will call you a fool. Even though others will say you're not being smart. You need to do the wise thing. You're saying, listen, I'm trusting God. That is the wise thing. J.I. Packer said this, "Your faith will not fail while God sustains it. You are not strong enough to fall away while God is resolved to hold you." Listen, child of God, you're in the hand of God. Listen, He called you out. You're in the hand of God. He has wonderful things going on for your life. Will you trust Him enough to bring those into existence? The second truth we can find in this passage. The way God leads often seems impossible. The way God leads often seems impossible. You know, Jesus talks about the wide gate and the narrow gate. The wide gate leads to destruction. The narrow gate leads to life and light. But most of us would like that wide gate. Why? Because it seems to be comfortable. Everybody's going that direction. But boy, that narrow looks like a little path. It doesn't look real safe. I'm more comfortable over here than here. Well, even in our situations, you know, oftentimes we want to go with the crowd, what everyone else says we ought to do. And we've never sought God about it. But you see, God often leads us through things that seem to be impossible. God will lead you through some difficult challenges for His providence to be revealed in your life and in your situation. We see this in verse 5 through verse 7, the first part of from New Living Translation says, "Who would do such a thing?" King Xerxes demanded. "Who would be so presumptuous as to touch you?" Listen, he's getting real protective about his queen now. So Esther replied, "This wicked Haman is our adversary and our enemy." And Haman grew pale with fright before the king and queen. Then the king jumped up to his feet, and in a rage, he went out to the palace garden. Whew. Listen, an unlawful appearance before the king, an invitation to two banquets for the king, all were dangerous preparation for the moment. Queen Esther had revealed that she was a Jew, something that neither the king nor the prime minister Haman had knowledge of before that revelation. Haman was starting to put the information together. He knew it didn't look too good for it in his favor. Yet the king asked in verse 5, "Who is he? Where is he, the man who dared to touch you and do such a thing?" King Xerxes was furious that anyone would dare hurt his queen. The king was very protective of his wife. This is where Queen Esther had amazing courage. She was looking at the killer eye to eye. She was present right there with the king, but the king could have had her killed for thinking that she made false accusations against Haman, the prime minister. Queen Esther had this amazing courage because she was looking in the face of this man who wanted to kill her and her people. Verse 6 says, from the modern English translation, so Esther said that this wicked Haman is the adversary and the enemy. Esther had this powerful God-given courage to confront Haman for the king to have the person and plot revealed to him. I don't know about you. I really don't like confrontations. I don't like argument. I don't like drama. I don't like all that stuff. And most of the time, those things are small compared to actually having to look at the your potential killer face to face, eye to eye, who's very arrogant and who's had the king's ear for a long time. And now she's looking at him face to face, and the king wants to know, what do you want? This man's evil. He's the one. He's the one who sold us to be killed. Esther had this godly wisdom not to imply the king Xerxes had anything to do with sending out this edict to the entire kingdom to kill the Jews. Had Esther implicated the king in her accusations, she likely would have been killed by the guards on duty. I'm sure Queen Esther didn't sleep too much the night before, thinking about this seemingly impossible challenge. The things that lie ahead, you know, think about it. That morning, she had to ask the king to spare her life and the life of her people. Her husband didn't know she was a Jew. Now, he knew that he sent out a decree for all the Jews to be killed, because what Haman had presented to him was that all the Jews, there's a group of people living in your kingdom who's not following your laws. And the king's like, well, kill them. Get rid of them. And you remember, that was the March the 7th of the following year. So they had like 11 months to go by before this death date, this annihilation of all the Jews in the Persian kingdom. She had to ask the king to spare her life because she was a Jew. She had to reveal that to him. And she also had to avoid any appearance of implying that the king had a hand in the annihilation decree against the Jews. So she's now walking a fine line. She has to reveal that she's a Jew, but she also has to, you know, not imply that the king was part of the plot. We also see that Esther had to convince the king that his most trusted noble, this prime minister Haman, was responsible for lying to the king and tricking him to agree to the murder of all the Jews because they disobeyed him. We also see that Esther also had to trust God that he would open the way for the king's law to be overruled. And in Persian law, listen, once the king made a law, he could not repeal it. Do you see what seemed impossible? That she had to face all of this at one time, telling the king that she's a Jew. Hoping, you know, and then revealing that Haman was the one who's responsible for this, but not implying that the king was in partnership with him in any way. But also, the big thing was that law had to be repealed. Something had to happen because that law was still out there in all the kingdom. So everyone in all the province, all 127 provinces of the Persian kingdom, they still had it in their language that March the 7th was the death date of all the Jews. It seemed impossible.
to bring all that back.
The way God leads often seems impossible, yet He is always moving and interacting to bring about His providence. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He says, life with God is not immunity from difficulty, but peace in difficulties. What peace? What peace can we have in our storms of life? See, there are so many things that we encounter and we endure, and we sometimes ask God, why? Why, God? There are selfish and evil people in the world who may even be in our circle of acquaintances. They're our frenemies. They're enemies posing as friends. Frenemies. Sometimes they act intentionally and hurt us, cause us pain, and sometimes we're just collateral damage. See, there are some Hamans in the world. And they mean harm. And the life they leave us and the decisions we have to face sometimes seem impossible. Remember, God is with you. Listen, God is always with you. He's working out His plan in your life. He will fill you with courage, and He'll fill you with peace and the fortitude to persevere through the troubling times, to give you victory and to give you healing. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 3 says this from the New Living Translation. He says, I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord, your God. Oh, what comfort we can have. What confidence we can have in our God, that regardless of what we're going through, when everything seems to be impossible, God has made a way. Why would we not seek Him for His way in our life? The third truth is this. You are not in control of God's methods of bringing His providential plan. You nor I are in control of God's methods of bringing about His will in our situations, His will in our life. His great big plan, we are not in control of it. See, walking by faith means that you join God as He weaves through the threads of your situation to bring His desired outcome. Is that we simply join God. And the only way that we can join God is if we're really communing with God, if we're really seeking God, if we want God to really lead us and not ourselves. Sometimes we like to be control nuts, though. And we want to tell God how we want things to go and how things to end. We see in verse 6, then Haman was seized with terror before the king and queen. And the king arose from the banquet of wine. In his wrath, he went out to the palace garden. But Haman remained to plead for his life from Queen Esther. For he saw that harm was determined against him by the king. Now the king returned from the palace garden back to the hall of the banquet as Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was. The king said, will he also violate the queen while I'm in the room? Haman done messed up. Queen Esther revealed that she was a Jew, and as part of this edict that was set in the motion to kill all the Jews, her life was in danger. She boldly and courageously exposed Haman as a wicked enemy who sought to destroy the queen and her people. And Esther walked in faith through this unknown situation. Esther was not responsible for the outcome of her faith walk. God was responsible. Okay, Christian, sometimes we have a hard time dealing with that. We say that we are people who walk by faith, but we really want to tell God how to do it. Sometimes when we pray, we're not praying, Lord, thou will be done. Sometimes we're saying, God, my will be done. God, that person who hurt me, would you just do something in their life? Would you just shut them up? God, would you bring some calamity in their life so they'll leave me alone? Oh, what a selfish prayer. No, you see, God wants us to trust Him for Him to bring the results. Does it hurt when people say things? Absolutely. But God is also the healer. He's a great physician. So often we run around for years carrying all this hurt and all this pain and all the things what someone had said against us. And God is just saying, trust me. I know you've been there. We've covered this in the week before. I know where you've been. And I've allowed you to go through that because I'm building you up for something greater. And the only way you're going to get to greater is that you grow through this to be there. That you grow through it. So why should we as Christians be surprised when the devil targets us and he uses people around us, those who we love and sometimes we've trusted for many, many years as friends? Well, why should we be surprised when he uses those very same people to come against us? You do have an enemy, you know. He comes against you strategically to pull you down and pull you apart. But God has a strategic plan in your life that even those things that are done evil against you are meant for your good. When the Bible says that all things can be used for the good of those who love Christ, all things. We are the ones who need to trust God to say, even though, you know, I got fired from my job, even though these people over here have left me and they walked away from me, even though my family really does, you know, they've disowned me, even though I've experienced some really deep childhood hurts, even though I'm going through this, how can all those things be used for the good? Because God has a plan. And like Esther, we have to allow God's plan to grow and to become real. And the only way that we can see it become real, because it's real already, it's just in the spiritual waiting to come into the natural, is to trust God that He is responsible for the outcome. Trusting God. See, God allowed those pagan men to declare the destiny of this evil doer. Yet it was also God's providential plan and predetermined that this was how it was going to happen. God used these evil men, this pagan king, and all those around him who were pagans also to do away with this evil one so that the Jews would be set free. Wow. Susan May Warren said this, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret. And don't fret about their wicked schemes. Look how God moved in the supernatural control, the destruction of the enemy of His chosen people. Verse 8 says, the king explained, will even he molest the queen while she's with me in my house? See, the king was angry already. We have to get this picture. The king was angry already. The queen revealed these things. You know what? The king began to feel guilty because he knew he had signed that edict against the Jews. He had signed that decree to go out against his own wife, his queen. And he knew that that Persian law, he couldn't repeal that law. So he was angry that he had been fooled by the man that he trusted more than anyone in the kingdom, Haman. He gets up and runs out into the garden, angry. But if he just had Haman killed, it would really look bad on him, because here's his prime minister. If he would have just had him killed, it would have revealed to everyone that the king was pretty incompetent because he was fooled by one man, that he was tricked. The king could not have his people thinking that he is incompetent. So it worked out really for the king when the king came back in and he saw Haman laying on the couch next to Esther. Now he's begging for his life. But what did I say? The king would never allow a functional male to be in the room with his queen. And when he saw Haman on the couch next to his wife. Immediately, when the words came out of his mouth, Scripture says, the words came out of his mouth. In verse 8, it says, soon as the king, the words left his mouth, they covered Haman's face. He said, will he even molest the queen? Take advantage of the queen while I'm in the house? Those eunuchs around jumped on Haman, put a sack over his head. Verse 9 says, then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, a pole reaching up to 50 cubits at 75 feet stands by Haman's house. He had set it up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, impale him on it. So they impaled Haman on the pole that was set up for Mordecai. And then the king's fury subsided. Listen, God allowed the king to carry out capital punishment on the very man who was responsible for so much hatred toward the Jews and the coming annihilation of them. God took care of things his way, using some evil people, using people who did not trust him, did not believe in him. See, trust God, though. For us, trust God to take care of our business his way, not our way. Listen, we tell God what the situation is. God already knows what the situation is, but he'll listen to us. But don't tell God his business, how to take care of it. Just trust him that he will take care of it. He makes a way when there seems there is no way. And he will weave and work his providential plan into reality. It just occurred to me. We tell God what we want, you know, him to do. But if our plan would have worked, we would have done it without God. Think about it. We tell God our plan, how to remedy this situation. But if our plan would have worked, we could have done it ourselves and we wouldn't have needed God. But why can't we just trust God to do and bring about his plan for our life so we can fulfill the purpose we're created? You do not have to compromise your character, mar your reputation, make hurtful decisions, or wish harm on those who seek to hurt you. God will bring justice to your cause for your good and his glory. Proverbs 24, verse 19 and 20 says, don't fret because of evildoers. Don't envy the wicked, for evil people have no future. The light of the wicked will be snuffed out. Like this, when you're going through something hard and you wonder where God is, remember the teacher is always quiet during the test. When we face seemingly hopeless situations, we can't see a way out. God's power has the opportunity to shine at its greatest. When we come to the end of ourselves, where we can't rely on our own abilities or anyone else that we know, we're reminded that we're totally reliant on God. And it's times like these that God's power is most evident and his plan to be revealed. What are you going through today? Maybe you're facing something even in the next near future. You know some things are coming up in your own life. And you say, God, I just don't know how I'm going to face this. Maybe some family issues, maybe some relationship issues. I don't know what's going on in your world. But God already does, and God already has a plan. Will you trust him? When it seems that there's no way out, will you trust him? That God will bring some good things in your life. But I've learned this. Be prepared. Even when great things are in store, sometimes God has to remove some things out of our life to get us there. Sometimes it's some people. Sometimes it's some stuff. Sometimes it's some attitudes in our own life, it's some growth, whatever it may be. Will you trust God enough to do that? He'll take care of them and move you where he wants you to be. Will you trust God when there seems no way? Because he will make a way for you. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even when we can't see things going on, Lord, even when we see things that are going on around us that are so discouraging, God, sometimes we're hurt by what people say and do. It affects our lives, even if it's just temporary, maybe even permanently. God, teach us today as your children to trust you through it. There is a way, God. If we saw the way, we would walk it ourselves and never trust you. Teach us today to be disciplined in our faith, to take one step knowing that you've got us, so we can take the next and the next and the next. And each day you will grow us to love and depend on you even more. Grow us where you want us to be, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's morning.